If you've been with us over the past few weeks, you'll know that we've been spending some time looking at some amazing miracles that Jesus performed whilst he was on earth. We've been asking the question, what can I learn from this story that helps me in my daily life 2,000 odd years later? Well, this morning we're going to John's Gospel to hear about a man who was born blind. If you have your Bible with you, turn with me to John chapter 9. We're reading from verse 1. John chapter 9, verse 1. As Jesus was walking along, he saw a man who had been blind from birth. "Rabbi," his disciples asked him, "why was this man born blind? Was it because of his own sins or his parents' sins?" One of the reasons that I love this story so much is that I have ridiculously bad eyesight. I'm sure some of you have bad eyesight as well. When I was young, I had an accident and the sight in my left eye was badly damaged. If I go for an eye test and shut my right eye, I can see the big H on the chart and that's it. With my left eye, I have a very big blind spot. So that if my right eye is shut and you're sort of behind level with my shoulder, I can't see you. Thankfully, my right eye has always been pretty good and I've learned to compensate for my bad eye. But now that I'm getting older, it's starting to deteriorate too. And without my glasses, the world looks pretty blurry. That can have its challenges, especially in the bathroom. Those of you who have good eyesight would not know how similar deodorant and hairspray look, or for that matter, toothpaste and hand cream. Now, those mistakes you'll only make once. Living in a blurry world does have its challenges, and I'm very grateful for the technology and knowledge that gives me glasses. But it's not just poor eyesight that makes our worlds blurry. As we look at this miracle, I want us to think about that. What makes our world blurry? What hinders our sight, in particular our spiritual sight? And what can we learn from how Jesus dealt with a man's physical blindness that can help us when our spiritual sight gets blurred? So, what causes our spiritual sight to be blurred? For me, it's things like this. We have some friends who we grew up with. We all went to church together as teenagers, and then after we got married, we moved to the Central Coast at around the same time. Then Kim and I were expecting our first babies within months of each other. We both had baby boys. We were blessed with Brendan. They were blessed with Tom. Tom died a few years ago at the age of 21. After a life of constant struggle, he never walked, never talked, never fed himself. He had heaps of operations and lived with pain and suffering his whole life. I don't understand that. That makes my world blurry. And there's other stuff too. I know a number of people who were in what they thought was a happy marriage, and one day their partner just walked out on them. I've had friends who have suffered with cancer, mental illness, or terrible abuse. I don't understand why these things happen, and it blurs my spiritual sight. Then there's stuff on the news: earthquakes, floods, fires, terrorist attacks, pandemics, a little girl missing from her tent. Not to mention our personal struggles. The things that are happening in our own lives that we just don't understand. We live in a world where often there are more questions than there are answers, and that blurs our spiritual sight. It makes us ask questions about life and about God. Why did this happen? I don't understand. I think in this story, despite hearing about an amazing miracle, we can also find some answers to some of those questions and also learn some things that can help us when we can't understand what's going on, when our sight is blurry, when our world is blurry. The first thing I think we can learn comes out of those first two verses. Did you notice what the disciples did when they came across the blind man? He was blind, but notice they didn't say, "Jesus, is there anything that we can do for him? Is there any hope? Jesus, could you heal him?" No, all they said was, "Why is he blind? What did he do to deserve this? Who could we blame?" How often do we deal with struggles in our lives like that? We look for a reason and for someone to blame. But let's look at what Jesus says. Verse 3. "It was not because of his sins or his parents' sins," Jesus answered. "This happened so the power of God could be seen in him." Why was the man blind? Not because of sin or some other reason, but so that the power of God could be displayed in his life. Maybe you're facing an obstacle now. Something has happened in your life and it's making your world blurry. Maybe you're at that point where you're asking why, or you're looking for someone to blame. Think about this. Maybe you are going through what you're going through so that the power of God can be displayed in your life. I'll never forget Tom's funeral. There were hundreds of people there to celebrate the life of this boy who never did anything for himself. And one after the other, they stood to say, "My life was better for knowing Tom. I'm a different person because I knew Tom." You would never choose a life like that for your child. But there was no doubt about it. God was glorified in his life. That's the first thing. When life gets blurry, don't get dragged into the blame game and don't get bogged down asking why. Sometimes there's just no answer for those questions. Stuff happens. It's the result of the messed up world that we live in. But in it, God's power is displayed. Let's read on. Verse 6. Jesus spit on the ground, made mud with the saliva, and spread the mud over the blind man's eyes. He told him, "Go wash yourself in the pool of Siloam." Siloam means sent. So the man went and washed and came back seeing. It's really bizarre if you think about it. This is a man who was born blind. And on this day, he overheard some men talking. They were talking about whose fault it was that he was blind. Was it his sin? Was it his parents' sin? And I bet that this was a conversation that he'd had or he'd heard before, maybe many times. And then Jesus walked up to him and he didn't say a word. He didn't say, "Hey, I'm Jesus. I'm the Son of God. I can see that you're blind. I can heal you so that you can see." He didn't say anything. He just did something very strange. The blind man simply heard a noise. Now, if I was telling this story at a youth group, I'd demonstrate the noise. Teenagers love that kind of stuff. But we're civilized people, aren't we? You know the sound, you can imagine it. The man heard the sound and he must have been thinking, "What was that? Did somebody just spit next to me?" Jesus spat in the dirt, mixed saliva and dirt together, made some mud and smeared it on the blind man's face over his eyes. And the man must have been thinking, "I heard some men talking about how it's my fault that I'm blind, and now a stranger has put mud all over my face and I heard a sound. I think there's spit involved." If I was the man, I'd be thinking, "I am not having a good day." And then Jesus spoke to the man. And what did he say? He said, "Go, go, go to the pool of Siloam." And believe it or not, the man, muddy face and all, went, just like that. Instantly he obeyed. And the Bible says, and so the man went and washed and came back seeing. I think it's interesting that when Jesus said, go and wash, the blind man didn't say, I'm going to have to pray about that for a while. I'll get back to you. I'm just going to spend some time in prayer and I'll let you know. Or he didn't say, you know, I have a lot on my plate at the moment. I've got family commitments. I've got a lot on at work. I know you need for me to do this, but I'll need to wait till after things settle down a bit. There was none of that. He simply immediately obeyed. And as a result, a man who had never seen before, ever, now could see the blue sky above him and trees and birds and people smiling. All because he instantly obeyed something that Jesus told him to do, even though he probably didn't understand it. I can't count the number of times I've felt like God has wanted me to do something. And many of those times it was something that I didn't really understand. Ring this person. Go back into that shop. Check whether the door is locked. Leave some money in that family's letterbox. Smile at that lady. Sometimes I've done it and other times I haven't. But every single time when I've acted in obedience, there's been something that God has done, something unexpected, often something amazing. People have said, I can't believe you've just rung me. My father has just died. There's been other things that were much bigger. Put your house on the market, that house that you built and love. Sell it and go to Bible college. Move to Gorokan. There's no job, no income. You've got four little kids. But there's something I have for you to do there. It happened to Murray, my husband, not that long ago. He dropped me off at work at Wyong Hospital and felt like God said, go for a drive to Foster. And now here we are, pastoring in a church in Foster. Crazy things that at the time made no sense. But God said, go. And when we did, he used that act of obedience to do wonderful things. What is God calling you to do? Is he asking you to do something that maybe doesn't make sense? If that's you, hear this. Delayed obedience is disobedience. Jesus said, go, and the man went. God wants us to see what he does when we obey. Life gets a lot less blurry if we will just do what he asks us to do in our relationships, in our walk with him, in our finances, in our decisions. So when life gets blurry, number one, it's all about God's glory. Don't get bogged down in asking why. Don't get stuck in the blame game. Sometimes there is just no answers. But God will use every situation to show his power. And number two, sometimes we just have to be obedient. Do it straight away. God wants us to see what he does when we obey. Let's read on. Verse 8. His neighbours and others who knew him as a blind beggar asked each other, isn't this the man who used to sit and beg? Some said he was, and others said, no, he just looks like him. But the beggar kept saying, yes, I am the same one. They asked, who healed you? What happened? He told them, the man they called Jesus made mud and spread it over my eyes and told me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash yourself. So I went and washed, and now I can see. Where is he now? They asked. I don't know, he replied. Then they took the man who had been born blind to the Pharisees, because it was on the Sabbath that Jesus had made the mud and healed him. The Pharisees had asked the man all about it, so he told them. He put the mud over my eyes, and when I washed it away, I could see. Some of the Pharisees said, "This man Jesus is not from God, for he is working on the Sabbath." Others said, "But how could an ordinary sinner do such miraculous signs?" So there was a deep division of opinion among them. Then the Pharisees again questioned the man who had been blind and demanded, "What's your opinion about this man who healed you?" The man replied, "I think he must be a prophet." The Jewish leaders still refused to believe the man had been blind and could now see, so they called in his parents. They asked them, "Is this your son? Was he born blind? If so, how can he now see?" His parents replied, "We know this is our son and that he was born blind, but we don't know how he can see or who healed him. Ask him. He's old enough to speak for himself." His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders, who had announced that anyone saying that Jesus was the Messiah would be expelled from the synagogue. That's why they said, "He's old enough, ask him." So for the second time, they called in the man who had been born blind and told him, "God should get the glory for this, because we know this man Jesus is a sinner." "I don't know whether he is a sinner," the man replied, "but I know this. I was blind, and now I can see." So there were people who knew the blind man, neighbours and friends. They knew that he had been blind from birth. And when they heard that his eyes were opened and he could now see, they were amazed. And so they took him to the religious leaders, the Pharisees, who asked him a whole lot of questions. Who did it? When did they do it? How did they do it? Did they do it on the Sabbath? See, the Jews had very strict laws about what you could and couldn't do on the Sabbath. And Jesus had healed the man on the Sabbath. So the poor man was having all these questions fired at him. And he must have been thinking, "Are you serious?" But look at how he answers them. I love this. It's verse 25. He says, "I don't know about all that, but I know this. I was blind, and now I can see." He says, "Are you kidding me? Yesterday I was blind. Today I stand before you and I can see. I can see your faces. I can see. And you are asking me who, what, when, where, and how? And wondering if the person that healed me did the right thing? I don't care about all that. All I care about is that yesterday I was blind and today I can see." It's quite amazing, isn't it? The religious leaders were so focused on the law and the fact that this was done on the Sabbath that they missed the important thing, that the Son of the living God had just healed the man's eyes. And you're probably thinking, yeah, honestly, what was wrong with them? They were being ridiculous. But we all do it. We get hung up on the details, on the struggles, on the stresses of our lives, and we miss the fact that the Son of the living God is doing stuff around us all the time, sending us the sun and the rain, that amazing eagle that we saw circling above our house, whales waving and slapping their fins as they head up the coast, protecting us on the roads, prompting that person to ring us right when we need it, blessing us with food and clothes and families. And so number three is this. We need to get our eyes off the details and back onto Jesus and be thankful for all that he is doing all the time. Let's read on. Verse 26. "But what did he do?" they asked. "How did he heal you?" Look, the man exclaimed. I told you once. Don't you listen? Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples too? Then they cursed him and said, You are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. We know God spoke to Moses, but we don't even know where this man comes from. Why, that's very strange, the man replied. He healed my eyes, and yet you don't know where he comes from? We know that God doesn't listen to sinners, but he is ready to hear those who worship him and do his will. Ever since the world began, no one has been able to open the eyes of someone born blind. If this man were not from God, he couldn't have done it. You were born a total sinner, they answered. Are you trying to teach us? And they threw him out of the synagogue. So the Pharisees wouldn't drop it. They were interrogating the poor man and he didn't give them the answer they were looking for. They were not happy and so they kicked him out of the temple. Then look at what Jesus did. Verse 35. When Jesus heard what had happened, he found the man and asked, Do you believe in the Son of Man? The man answered, Who is he, sir? I want to believe in him. You have seen him, Jesus said, and he is speaking to you. Yes, Lord, I believe, the man said, and he worshipped Jesus. You know, we look at this story and think, wow, that is so amazing. A man who was born blind can now see. That's so incredible. And it is. But what happened after? What we just read, that is the greater miracle. See, that man would have died sometime later. His restored sight was an amazing miracle, but it was nothing compared to the miracle that happened in his heart. What happened to his eyes was only temporary. Lasts forever. It's eternal. It's amazing that God has the power to change and heal a body. But how much more amazing is it that he can change a heart and take someone from death to life? Every single one of us are born blind to the things of God. We can't see him for who he truly is because of our sin. But then there comes a moment. We have an encounter with God. We read something in Scripture which suddenly comes alive. Someone shares the gospel with us. We hear the words of a song. We understand that we need Jesus. And we respond and say, I believe. And at that moment, our life changes forever. And we begin a life walking with Jesus. A life that never, ever ends. There's things that we face every day that blur our spiritual sight. Maybe you or someone you love is there right now. But God's word reminds us this morning. Number one, don't give in to the temptation to play the blame game or to ask why. Sometimes there's just no answer to those questions. Number two, just do what God asks you to do, even if it doesn't make sense. And watch what he does. And number three, take your eyes off the details and get them back on to Jesus. And be thankful for all that he is doing all the time. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word and for the way that it reminds us that out of heartache, out of struggle, out of obstacles, your amazing power is revealed and you are glorified. Lord, many of us are facing struggles right now, either in our own lives or in the lives of people we love. We want to stop asking why and trying to find someone or something to blame. We want to say to you this morning, we trust you. We trust that you are in control and that because you are with us, that everything is going to be okay. We believe that you are for us and that the best is yet to come. We're willing to submit to your will for our lives, and we're going to try to just be obedient. Help us to be obedient so that you might be glorified in our lives. Lord, we are in awe that you are all-powerful. The miracles that we read about in your word and that many of us have experienced in our lives are amazing. But Lord, so much more amazing is the fact that you can take a heart that is hard and is full of selfishness and sin, and you can change it and make it new. We thank you for that amazing miracle. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.